Hi, welcome to the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Rudin. It is April 17th, 2024, and I bid you hello. And I'm so glad and grateful that you tuned in today. We're going to continue in just a moment about what we've been discussing for the last whole bunch of shows, which is really self-education, what you can do to get out in the world and give you some good ideas. And we're going to talk about some people that I think you're going to find incredibly interesting. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Thank you. And we are going to continue. I have a couple of stories to share with you guys today on some stuff that I had a couple articles I had written. And, you know, we keep going on. You know, I see, like I said, and you guys have heard, if you're a regular listener, I won't stay long on this, but, you know, there's so many people out there that are saying they don't have access to education, they don't have access to this and that, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, actually you do. It's called self-education. You have to get your ass into the library and utilize all kinds of free stuff on the internet, you know. Even the Ivy League, a highly acclaimed technical school, MIT, has an ability through their open sourceware where you can go in and you can actually take a course, have access to lecture notes, have access to textbooks, all free of charge. So, you know, and you could take some pretty serious classes, you know, and that's just, and it's free. You know, it may not be the most ideal setting, but it's better than telling you, well, there's nothing out there, kids don't have you know, access to higher education. Have you seen a college campus today? Do you really want to go there and get indoctrinated? I think not. You go there to learn. And you go there to learn so you can make a mark in the world. You know, all these young people, and what's sad is that their best argument is fuck you. When they can't articulate a response to a reasonable question, their answer is fuck you, you're a racist, a fascist, or you're this or you're that. You know, and my argument to that is yes, you're entitled to be frustrated and you're entitled to have an opposing view. However, what would it be if you were able to communicate at the same level that someone who you may not like, and let's say you didn't like Ben Shapiro, but he, you know, as a lawyer, he's going to pretty much, unless you have that skill set, he's pretty much going to tear you up, you know? So you need to take an opportunity to learn how to negotiate these waters, if you will. And it's not hard. You can, and you can have an opposing view to societal norms. And if you're able to articulate that in a way that makes people stop and think, because I'm sorry, your ultimatum and fuck you is not a good argument. But I will listen to an opposing view on whatever it is. If you're sitting there telling me and basing it up with some facts, then I'm going, holy shit, I didn't see that. You're absolutely right. So, there is that. Hang on, I'm gonna take just a real quick break. I need to get a drink of water, because if I don't, I'm probably gonna start coughing into the microphone, which would not be a good thing. So stand by. Okay, thanks for that. Much better. All right. So, if you, like I said, can actually make a really solid point, you could affect change. But if you can't, and screaming and yelling and gluing your hands to the, you know, the entrance of a venue. But imagine for a minute that you had the knowledge to actually affect change. Because, you know, like for climate activists, for example, you can actually put up just as much pro or con either way that, you know, it makes it where you, when you look at both sides of the equation, both sides of the coin, you go, shit, who do I believe? Because there's as much, I'm telling you, there's as much pro as there is con on either side, if you go look for it. If you're just listening to one side, then you're doing yourself a huge disservice. I'm not saying you have to change your mind about anything. But when you know both sides of the equation, like you know the back of your hand, you're going to be a pretty formidable adversary to someone, to say the very least. That is where real power is derived, is being formidable. And the way you be formidable is through education. And you don't have to have, let me just tell you this, you don't have to have any kind of fancy Dan formal education to be a formidable person. So, we haven't talked about yet, but there is a dude, and I have stumbled a couple of times trying to remember him in different episodes. And so it's a guy, it's a young man that was in India named Srinivasa Ramanujan. He was born in 1887 and sadly died in 1920 of a disease of the day. He was quite a young man when he died. And so his story is he came from a very poor part of India. He basically only had some study, some school, but not just a whole lot, and he had to self-educate himself despite facing significant financial and social challenges. He grew up with a humble family and received minimal formal education. So he had basically probably the basics, and that's kind of about it. But from his young age, he displayed an extraordinary talent for mathematics. And he was largely self-taught, and he was self-taught through textbooks. So fast forward to today, guess where you can find textbooks that you can go look at and read for free? The library. Okay? I have said that on about a bajillion times, that you can go to the library and you can actually read books, and there is all, if you read the chapters start to finish, you probably don't need somebody in front of you. And here's the thing, let's say that you get into something and you don't have access to a person, or maybe the librarian simply doesn't have an answer for you. All right, well, use AI, which there are free AI models that you can use. You can access these at the library on their computer, okay? And if you use like ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, Grok on X is really good. You know, if, and there's a host of others. And I find myself utilizing them all, because largely you get some different perspectives from each AI model, you know, and you can also see which AI models are redirected to the way that the owners of those models want you to think. So I'm not going to say anything beyond that, but utilize two or three and get the best information you possibly can, because people who can control the information being disseminated out into the world can also sway things their way, which may not be your way. So, and that's the beauty of America is, you know, we were founded on the ideal that we can all have opposing views, but we are free to engage in a world where freedom of speech is part of our inalienable rights. So you utilize these things, because usually when you get to a stopping point or you're stumped by something, if you ask that, even a conclusion on, hey, I'm working on blah, 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 you put out, you know, as much information into the query as you can, hit go, and the artificial intelligence will go out and find all the information that you need for you to make a good decision and or add to your education. So that's an amazing tool that we just really are learning about and just got. So, that's what makes all this really exciting. All right. I use it for research all the time. It's amazing. All right. So anyway, Ramanujan displayed an extraordinary talent, okay, throughout his life. All right. And through his struggles and through trying to find employment that allowed him to pursue. Imagine being from a village in India and you're a mathematician. Not many places, you know, need a good mathematician, okay, when you're in a small village, even in America. If you were in a really uber small town, you know, and you were a mathematician trying to get a job, you know, the hardware store probably, you know, would have a little bit to offer, you know, as far as, you know, hey, I'm trying to build this, can you tell me how much lumber I'm going to need, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, simple high school mathematics can teach you that. So he did as much as he could, and he caught the eye of a guy named G.H. Hardy, who was a renowned British mathematician who recognized Ramanujan's genius and invited him to study at Cambridge University in England. And here's what I'm going to suggest to you is, if you have some skill set that, you know, allows you, then talk about it. Get out in the community, you know, go to people who might understand what you're talking about and attend lectures, conferences, anything, you know, a lot of things like lectures and things on college campuses. Some cost, some don't, you know, and there's always a Q&A, or you can actually, a lot of these people, I wrote a letter to a guy that, and this is before email really became a thing, and I wrote it, I said, you know, he did some groundbreaking research on car dealerships, and my family comes from a General Motors background. And so I told him, I said, I found what I could understand about your work amazingly interesting. I said, I'd be honest, some of the math I do not understand, because I am not at the same level that you are, but your notes and side notes and how you and what you were trying to do, I completely understand, and I thought it was thought-provoking. He sent me his entire, like, work on this subject. He sent me his entire paper. Didn't ask me for nothing. Didn't, you know, I was nobody, but I just complimented him on his work, because I was just like, man, this is so cool. And he sent me his entire paper on this work. It was massive. And it was cool as shit ever. He didn't have to do that. So you never know what someone's good heart could do for you. And I studied that for a long, long time and really, you know, took it to heart and became a smarter person from it. So as he flourished under the mentorship of Mr. Hardy, he made significant contributions to various areas of mathematics, including number theory, infinite series, and mathematical analysis. Go look those up. Number theory, infinite series, and mathematical analysis. And it was characterized as intuitive approach to his ability to derive complex mathematical formulas through creative reasoning. So this can be applied to anything. It could be, you could be an English, a civics major, you could, a history. All of these things that I'm talking about, think of it metaphorically. If you're a mathematician, think of it as something you could apply to your own work. You know? Did you ever watch the Big Bang Theory and those guys, how they were doing their research? You know, you could do that at home. Sheldon did it at his home. You know, he was constantly doing, you know, little, had a whiteboard and he was working on problems and things in his home. And, you know, you can do the same thing. It doesn't have to be in a formal setting at all. And I'm telling you, man, the library is an amazing place. An amazing place. So, despite facing health challenges and cultural differences during his time in England, Ramanujan's contributions to mathematics were nothing short of remarkable. He published numerous papers and collaborated with other prominent mathematicians of the day. His work laid the foundation for many important developments in mathematics, and his legacy continues to inspire mathematicians around the world. Sadly, he died at 32. I believe it was to a disease of the day. I don't have that right square in front of me, but I do believe in my reading and research that it was something to do with a disease or something of the day. And he's continued to study, or continued to be studied, I should say, by mathematicians to this day. His journey, this is highly important, big bullet point here. His journey encourages aspiring mathematicians and self-learners to embrace their passion, trust their intuition, and persevere in the face of challenges. Ramanujan's legacy continues to inspire generations of mathematicians and serves as a testament to the power of self-education and the limitless potential of the human mind. That's what you have to grasp, is the potential of your mind. Just because you were born in a poverty situation does not make you have less a mind than Albert Einstein. Sorry, that just don't work. A mind is a mind is a mind. What you put into it and how you educate it is what makes you different. So don't think for one minute that because society says that you're marginalized or some other bullshit thing about your life, which you're not, you have the same mind. You know, if you believe that the establishment is keeping you down, then learn how to beat the establishment at their own game. But fuck you, fascist is not going to get you there. But a well-articulated plan and intellectual battle plan, that'll get you somewhere. That'll get you heard. That will get you in front of the people who can affect changes that you're interested in changing. Being the leader of some organization that all you do is you know, glue your hands to a freeway, you know, I would challenge you in that instance to come up with alternative ways in which to change the way that you see things or the way that you want it, the world to see it. Write a book. Hello. Write a blog. Do a vlog. Become a YouTuber that talks about and shows and backs up what you're talking with actual facts. And look at opposing views, because here's how lawyers tear you apart. Okay? Is a lawyer's going to listen to both sides of the story. That helps them when they understand who you are, what you're about, what your thinking is, and they have their position. Now they can take your position and use it, or attempt to use it against you, and attempt to make make your argument less than theirs. And if your comeback makes their argument less than theirs, or you attempt to do that in a articulable way, that has real power. Look at people, and we've talked about this, look at people who don't crack under pressure. And this is what happens on college campuses when they get in front of conservatives, on these college campuses where you see the all these kids trying to make a point, and they get pummeled, and then they get pissed and scream and yell, and everybody does all their things, but that didn't change shit. Walking off the microphone and going, you're fat, your face is skinny, you're this, you're that. Okay, well, that didn't really change a damn thing. Didn't change anything. You want a ceasefire in a country that's at war, write out a plan that shows people how a ceasefire is possible. Go to a news organization and say, hey, look, this is, and have it so well said and so well written that people go, damn, can we publish this? Or you publish it yourself. That's where real power is. You can shut down the freeway. You can close off a building. You can do all of these things. And yeah, it gets you attention, but it gets you the wrong attention. And if you really think about it, how many people are you going to have to hurt to make your point? When you could make your point in a way that the people that, instead of hurting them, are now going, wait, I didn't know all that. I want to be on your side. How many people can you sway to your side when your argument is so well articulated that people go, shit, I never thought of it that way? Everybody wants peace. Everybody wants peace. If you sat down, and I've talked about this before, if you sat down and in a coffee shop somewhere in the world, and you ask people, just, regular Joe folks, what do you want? We all want the same thing. We all want happy families, healthy families. We want to find love. We want to have a family that we cherish and that cherishes us. And to live in the most inalienable thing that we should have, which is peace. Everybody should be able to live in peace. If you could, I think the next really huge thing would be, how do you repurpose the industrial military complex into a peaceful industry instead of a killing machine? How do you celebrate as a scientist? And I mean this with all sincerity. How do you celebrate as a scientist the ability that you gave through a missile that you created, or a bullet that you created, how to basically vaporize a human being or vaporize a city. How is that any sort of thing to celebrate? It's sad that we are living in a world where that has to happen. But the thought process should be towards, you know, obviously these corporations and the people that run these corporations are quite used to the money that they're making and are probably not very willing to repurpose, if at all. But if you could come up with a compelling enough reason and way to show them you could still make the same amount of money, if not more, via this peaceful way of living, embracing new technologies. Instead, you have governments that suppress technology instead of embracing it. Why, you know? Because there are people that their pocketbook's going to get a whole lot lighter if that comes to light in their mind. My thought process would be, is can we come up with a way for that to benefit all concerned in a major way? Those are real questions. Those deserve real thought, real research. Are you that person? I think you could be, if you wanted to be. So I 1,000% am for your right to think the way that you want to think, believe the way that you want to believe. That's what our country's about. But in that, are you affecting change, or are you just a rabble-rouser amongst change that's not happening for nothing? Burned all those buildings in Oregon, not jack shit changed. Nothing. Other than now you got a whole bunch of buildings that, guess what? All the people who live there that burned it down, guess what happens with your tax dollars? It goes to rebuild all that shit, if they rebuild it at all. Didn't change shit. Why? Because that sort of behavior is not going to change anything. Learn both sides of the story and then come up with a plan that says, okay, this is why you should think this way. This is why you should think this way. And you may be surprised at how many people go, damn, I didn't think of it that way. And then all of a sudden you find a common ground with people who disagree with you. You find a common ground for conversation. And from that conversation, guess what happens? Compromise. We bend a little, you bend a little, everybody wins. And you may even sway people 100% over your way. You know why? And I wrote something earlier about, hang on, let me get to it real quick. Other spot, and hello, let's see here, published. Oh shit, I didn't put it out on social media. I put it on, hang on. All right, so any old way, while I'm looking this up, you know, there's nothing wrong with sitting down with someone who has an opposing view from you and having some sort of really good conversation that doesn't include, fuck you, I'm going to kick your ass, I want to fight. You know, that, man, no. Because here's, you know who wins an argument? is someone who stays cool under fire. You know why lawyers are so good at arguing? Because they know how to stay cool under fire. They don't break. You know why military operators don't fold up on the field of battle? And I'm talking about Navy SEALs, Delta guys, and the like. Don't end up in a ball when most of us, you know, that would get into a situation like that would become so frightened you'd shit your pants, literally. And you'd curl up in a ball and scream, have the screaming memes, and not be able to do shit. Because they've trained themselves not to lose their shit and to remain focused and calm. And that's what you have to learn how to do. And you can do it. They don't have a bigger brain or a better brain than you. They just were shown that this is the way you can do it. And for most of them, it's called box breathing. You can look it up on the internet. Some people call it tactical breathing. Yes, it's that simple. It's just fucking breathing that can set a situation, because from a clear head, and I've said this many occasions, is from a clear mind, you could make absolutely amazing, amazing decisions. But when your head's cluttered up with shit, you know what you do? You tell someone who's really, really important to you. You may even use a F-bomb. You may tell them, yeah, fuck off. Or you may say something that's completely hateful that you totally regret afterwards. You can say all the sorries you want. All of them you want. But that is out. You can be remorseful and you can not do it again and you can do all those things, but that's out. That cut. Why? Because you made an emotional response in an emotional situation when if you'd remained calm, cool, and collected under fire, listened before you spoke, and then articulated what you wanted to say in a meaningful way, then you're not sitting there going, baby, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Or mom, I'm so sorry. Dad, I'm so sorry. Because you said something in the heat of the moment. Or you're out on your ass for your job because you mouthed off to your boss instead of shutting up and listening. You mouthed off to your boss because now, guess what, you don't have a job. He can be the biggest dick in the world. You can sit there and go, he's the slimiest motherfucker I've ever worked for, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? He's still there and you don't have a job. So, what happens if you're able to stay cool under fire even when someone's just absolutely thoroughly pissing you off? And remember, it's words. Yes, words can cut. Words can start a fight. But if you were able to harness your emotion and release words that... One of the funniest things that I've ever heard is someone was cussing and screaming, and this guy in a very calm, cool manner, this guy was screaming at him using profanity and all these things, and the guy looked at him and goes, oh yes, profanity, the language of the uneducated. He was being a complete smartass, but think about that for a minute. If you educate yourself to not fall into that trap, you're a formidable human being, a very formidable human being. When the bastards don't bring you down, remember, you guys have heard that, don't let the bastards get you down. When the bastards don't get you down, guess what you are? Formidable. A force to be reckoned with. Think about these things for a minute. Nobody's going to disrespect me. They're flipping words, for Christ's sake. Disrespect? No. Your staying calm, cool, and collected is the hugest fuck you back that you could possibly give someone. Because even though they said something that was horribly disrespectful to you, you didn't crack, you didn't break. Why? Because you're stronger than they are. That makes complete sense when you think about it. Stop letting society tell you, you can't let somebody disrespect you like that. You don't have to let them disrespect you, but you don't have to fall in that trap. When you're able to make decisions and responses with a clear, calm mind, guess what you're going to do? You're going to kick their ass without having to kick their ass. You are going to disarm them so quickly that they got nothing. Nothing. Jerry, what's the comedian's name? Jerry Seinfeld. He got so pissed in an interview that posted out not long ago, and you know, some guy asked him, you know, it was like race or inclusivity and all that stuff, and you know, who the audience was and all this stuff, and he was like, you know, he goes, this really pisses me off. And you could tell he was visibly completely insulted, disrespected, and he was uber pissed because this guy made a douchebag question. You don't gotta bite the douchebag, okay? Or bite, you know. And he didn't. He showed his emotion a little bit, that he was, you know, this really pisses me off. And you could see it in his face. But he gave back an incredibly well-articulated response and made this interviewer, who knew that he had, look like a fucking moron, which he was. You know, when we stop letting people bait us into situations where we react, you know, or we fuel the fire of that disconnect we are getting between, you know, that, and this is what I want to, this gets us into my next part of the show, is an article that I wrote, you know, and it really, I was inspired by the speech from American President. If you've never watched that movie, go watch it. It's called American President, and it stars Michael Douglas. And he's getting his ass handed to him, you know, by and he's the President of the United States, and he goes in and he gets a character attack from, it's coming up on an election, and he gets this character attack, and he kind of freezes up. His character kind of freezes up and doesn't really fire back, and he doesn't really, they say some horrible things about his girlfriend, they say some horrible things about his record and all of these things, and finally he had had enough. And if you want to just see that part, the American President, and just put the speech, and he makes this incredible speech where he tells this guy, he says that the government, you know, when they want to change something, will make you fear it, you know. And he was talking about this guy, and he said, you know, he makes you fearful of things that he wants, you know, his agenda, and so because he can't sell it, he makes you fear it. And so he makes this statement of, you know, he talks about it, and then he goes, the problem is you can't sell it. The American people don't buy it. So hence they make you, they're intentional about fear-mongering, very intentional about it. And that's why, you know, you see all these kids losing their mind over climate change. And I'm not saying that it's not a thing. But some of them are so scared that they're going to die like next year. Do you realize that in my lifetime, we've had acid rain, global warming, Y2K, all of these things that never came to pass? I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay attention to the climate. We absolutely should. We need clean utilities. We need clean running cars. We need, all of these things. Absolutely. Clean manufacturing. But it's like the thing with cows. I grew up on a, around cows and ranches and things like that. And there are places where, cow manure and things like in big feedlots and stuff where all that stuff is put in a single spot. So figure out a way to service that. Come up with an invention that maybe you run all this slurry, as they call it, through a system, and it comes out a fertilizer. It comes out some repurpose it for something. And I think those technologies are out there. But I love the part where, Bill Gates and his and tells us that, cows are the one of the greatest threats to the world. And I'm sitting there going, he owns patents and other things for synthetic meat. How gross. Where they grow meat in a laboratory. Can you even get your head around eating that steak? But the question is posed to him is by a couple of different people that said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to sleep in a garage with a cow overnight. You sleep in the garage next door with the car running, and you tell me, we'll talk about it in the morning. You're not, first off, it's not the cow poop, it's their belching that produces CO2. And it's not the poo and all that, but the poo contributes to the environment. So, coming up with ways to repurpose that would be a good thing. And besides all that, the cow poop in the pastures and all those kind of things, that has a trickle-down effect into the environment. Besides all that, pastures eat the CO2 from it. That's how they become pastures. So there, you have to look at both ways. If I just listened to what Bill Gates said and didn't actually question his methodology and look at the fact that his agenda, I'm sorry, but when you own a product or service and you say your competitors are, you bring out fear about what your competitors do, doesn't that seem a little sketchy to you? I'm not saying he's not, maybe he's 110% right. I don't know. But there's a lot of sketchy shit with that I'm going to question. Because I know a lot of ranchers. These people are getting squeezed out, and it's disgusting how cattle ranchers and ranchers and farmers are being squeezed. You're realizing it, that you can't grow a cotton. Like if you grew a cotton plant, if you were going to be a cotton farmer, for example, you have to use a government-protected seed. You cannot use what God put on this earth. You cannot harvest. Let's say you grow this huge cotton field. Guess what you can't do with the seeds that it produces? You can't use them. And for throughout history, you know why people got into farming? Is because once they bought that first set of seed out there, then each year after, when they harvested the seeds, they didn't have to buy, if any, seed, but very little to plant their next crop. This is where they began to make money. It was sustainable for them to do it. Now, each and every year, you have to destroy the seeds, which is a cost. And you have to go back and buy the genetically modified seed. And if you do anything different from that, guess what? The company that owns that patent is going to destroy you. Why? Because they're a publicly traded company with a mountain of lawyers waiting to just fuck you over and take your farm and put you out of business and destroy you. It ain't pretty, it ain't fun, and it, you know, it's... So think about those things for a minute. Probably a whole bunch of you didn't know that. A lot of the farming community, you get companies like the old Monsanto and Archer Daniels and people like that, they didn't fucking play. They didn't play, and they don't play. But why can't you plant your own shit? Because they say you can't. And how do you patent something that actually, at the end of the day, was you're taking what the earth, call it God, the universe, or whatever, whomever made space aliens, whoever made this planet, put those things there and made plants reproduce the seeds. Why? Because you could go back and do it more. But now you've got these big corporations putting themselves in the middle of it. J.P. Morgan told Nikola Tesla, if I can't put a meter on shit you build, it'll never see the light of day. Open your eyes. Because here's the skinny. If you go to these people who have all this control and you have a way for them to meter it, I guess, then makes a whole lot more sense than, you know, living under some tyranny of people that, you know, don't give a shit about you. Because when you look at the companies that Gates has that are competitive to cow farming, need you look further. He can say all he wants to about, you know, all this shit, but I, you know, again, it's, if you do your research, it's not the cow poop that is doing this. It is a belch from a cow that produces the methane. So anyway, have a nice day with that. You know, the problem with relying on fear mongering is multifaceted. First and foremost, it's manipulative and disrespectful to the public, me and you. It assumes that people can't be trusted to make informed decisions based on facts and logic. So they must be scared into compliance. This paternalistic view undermines the very notion of democracy and the idea that the government derives its legitimacy from the consent of the governed. So that's my point, is sometimes if you look at the arrogance of what people say, you can go on the internet and see where Nancy Pelosi talks about what a smear campaign looks like. You put out a bunch of bullshit, you let it rinse through the system, okay? You make it appear as though you're a scumbag and you're the, you know, whatever they're trying to do. But what it is it's out there. So it's scary. You know, here's the thing about policies born out of fear rather than reason. They're often poorly conceived and counterproductive to what you and I should expect. When emotions are running high, nuance and long-term thinking tend to go out the window in favor of knee-jerk responses that may feel satisfying at the moment, but fail to address underlying issues. The tough-on-crime policies in the 80s and 90s, for instance, were fueled by sensationalized media coverage and political grandstanding about rising crime rates. While they succeeded in filling prisons, they did little to address the socioeconomic factors driving crime and ended up devastating communities and perpetuating cycles of poverty and recidivism. Now, here's my take on like poverty, for example. I am 1,000% need a hand? Here's a hand. Let me help you up. Need some assistance for a time while you get back on your feet and go out and find good quality work? Absolutely. Where you can take care of your family, have a good paying job, and do the things you need to do. But here is the shit with that. For example, they're going to give you just enough to not really get by, but enough that, you know, at least it's something. If you go $1 over that with a job, guess what you lose? The entire benefit. And that may include insurances and other things. So they make it where if you add to, they're going to cut your benefits to the point that it's you get more money staying on welfare than you get if you actually got a job and started pursuing what used to be the American dream. What does that do? It gets people to become addicted to the system. It's like heroin. They can't get off of it. There's no clear path to getting off of it. So my whole thing with you know, all this bullshit that they want to do with, you know, all this money they want to send abroad and all these packages of bullshit that you and I have to pay for is, I'll tell you what, before we send another dollar to a foreign land to fund a foreign war, let's do this. Let's fix poverty. Because the money that you have spent, economists say, or and people who do research about this, say that we could have fixed the homelessness problem. We could have gotten Americans off the street. We could fix health care. Instead, they keep it so broke and keep you and I so broke that, again, we're addicted. We can't get off. You know, there's no clear path for us to get off. You know, it stinks what... Looking up something here. You know, I love Gandhi for a lot of reasons. You know, he stuck to an ideal in the face of horrible atrocities. And before we get into that, hang on. Going to take a quick water drink break. I'll be right back. Okay, so Gandhi famously said that poverty is the worst form of violence. Nothing could be more true than that statement. Poverty is the worst form of violence. And when a governing body keeps people in poverty, you know, that's a true injustice, especially when you're sending the billions of dollars for other things that could be given to people who could get out of poverty. And so therefore, that's why I talk about these things, is because it's going to take you and I to figure out ways in order to combat these things. Because it's very obvious that, you know, the people that should be doing it aren't. And so if we can go to them with a way, you know, how powerful is that? Don't let people say that you can't do something because you can. You absolutely can. You don't have to buy into societal norms that say, you know, you come from the wrong place, or you're, you know, you don't have the education, you don't have the background, you don't have whatever. You know, there are a whole lot more self-made millionaires and billionaires than there are, you know, well-educated ones. So don't think for a moment that you can't make something from nothing. And sometimes that's what you gotta say, is, you know what, and you guys have heard me say this before, I'm gonna make ice cream out of dog shit. That, my friends, is power. When you can take something as horrible as dog poop and you can turn it into something that is truly amazing, that's a gift. Absolutely. It's a gross way to look at it, but it's still a gift. And you can do it if you take the time and educate yourself and learn how to do the things that we're talking about. And it really, truly is there for the taking if you just go take it. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be not easy to do, but you can do it. You absolutely can do it. So, you know, one of the things that when Gandhi was working on home rule was the fact that he was willing to do whatever it took to affect change. And a couple of different times he had to fast to the point of death. But he knew he could overcome tyranny. And he had a very well articulated way to get there. Why? He was a lawyer. He knew how to listen to both sides. And so many people around him would go from reaction, a reactionary stance, whereas he would look at all the ways that things could be done here, and he made his decisions based on good, sound information. Not a bad way to look at things at all. So, are you willing to give it a go? Get out and try to do some things that can make a change in your own life, because nobody's got their foot on your neck. You know, and that's what society wants you to believe. That's what even people in your own peer group want you to believe, that there's this, you know, this big stone that's been placed on top of it. Elon Musk made a good point with Don Lemon. You know, Don Lemon was talking about, you know, racism and all this stuff, and how, you know, black people couldn't get ahead. And I'm sitting there going, do you know how much money you make? Where you live? And you're telling black people they can't make it because they're oppressed? I'm not suggesting that some of this doesn't exist, but you look at guys like Morgan Freeman, you know, Comer Cottrell, you know, all successful in their own right. Spike Lee, what a gifted artist. What an absolute gifted artist. Denzel Washington, what a gifted artist. What a gifted artist. There are successful people within your peer group. Take a look at them. They didn't have some lucky, you know, they may have had a lucky break, but it wasn't because they were being oppressed. And again, you know, if you want something, you can go get it. I'm telling you. Absolutely. Doesn't matter where you're from, who you are. Don't matter. Man, woman, child. You can do it. You absolutely can. Don't let society and society norms tell you that you can't. Because if you look within your own peer group, I'm telling you, you will see. I mean, how many African American lawyers, doctors, you know, political leaders, and most are all telling you, you know, you're being oppressed. Well, how can they come from the same neighborhood you did and they can find success, but you can't? Could it be that they don't want to share? They don't want you playing with their toys. Because, you know, there are, you know, folks in white communities that are living, you know, go look at families in the Appalachian Mountains, for God's sake. In other poor areas of the United States where doesn't matter the color of your skin, if you live there, you're poor. Poor. And it you know, and again, poverty has no race. Poverty can happen to anyone. Any race, creed, color, don't matter. Poverty is evil. Evil incarnate. But you don't have to subscribe to that. You can actually educate yourself, form critical thinking, have the viewpoint that you want to have, not the viewpoint I want to have, not the viewpoint that conservatives or liberals, whoever, have your viewpoint. Don't follow the damn herd. Just because all your friends at school are going one way doesn't mean you have to. Especially if it goes against what your gut's telling you. When you're at a protest scene, people get hurt. If it bothers you, then maybe you're in the wrong group. Maybe you need to be in your group. Because I can tell you something about being in your group. Your thoughts and your things. If you think that you're going to be the only person on the planet that thinks the way that you think, you're sadly mistaken. Because you will find a peer group that celebrates you. Celebrates who you are. Doesn't matter anything other than you. And celebrates you. Stop living in a situation. I mean, Elon Musk said, does everything that goes out into the world have to be bad? No, it doesn't. Absolutely does not. You have the ability to change you. And this is all things that hold steadfast in my channel is... You have the ability to change. I had to change so many things about myself in order to get to a place where I felt comfortable with me. And give a shit what everybody else thought. I get comfortable with what? Me. So now I have a peer group of people who are like-minded that I enjoy spending time with. And here's the thing. They may have totally different opposing views than me, but they appreciate the level of fight in life in such a way that they embrace and say, hey man, you know, we all gotta, it's all hard, you know, doesn't matter where you come from and all this kind of shit. It's a struggle. But you're going to find people within the struggle that you identify with and that identify with you. So don't just follow the folks that, you know, don't really have an agenda other than chaos. Chaos never cured anything. Sorry, it's not. Look it up. It's not, don't take my word for it. All of these things you can look and see what happens to movements that are based on chaos. They may have a moment, they may have 15 minutes, but that's all they're going to have. To affect real change, like I said, learn both sides of the fence and then articulate what you want people to understand. And you will find that people can come and see your way. And that's why I wrote a thing about fear-mongering in the government. They can't sell us the sack of shit that they're trying to sell us anymore. Because it's just that. It's a sack of shit. It's a sack of shit that furthers you and I into a hole that we have to sit and suck on the teat of something that we absolutely, positively, 1,000% don't want to participate in. So, think about these things for a bit of time, and I'm telling you, you will have an amazing life. An amazing life. So, I hope that this makes sense with you. It really, it's something I think a lot about, and it's something that, you know, I've had to self-educate. It's just like it's like the program I'm using right now to do my podcast. I had to learn how to use Adobe Audition and it's not hard. It's not like there's some real, you know. There are a whole lot of features on it that I still don't know how to use, but it can do some really cool shit. But there was a learning curve for me to learn it. And I had to go out and learn it on my own. Nobody came to the house and showed me how to use it. You know, I watched videos. I watched it. Fortunately, Adobe has an amazing resources for learning how to use their products. So everything comes with learning. Everything. And to let anyone say that you can't because of where you live, the color of your skin, your gender, whatever, is all absolute screaming bullshit. You can achieve what you want to achieve. And if you don't believe me, look inside your peer group and ask, hell, ask ChatGPT or ask AI or ask Google. Famous African-American businessman. Someone wrote a shitty thing not long ago that was talking about African-American people in science, and I'm sitting there going, there wasn't, you know, many the things. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Do you know? I was like, you know, that they didn't have access. To science. And I pulled up, I said, give me 10 top African American scientists. And then I remembered one lady in particular, and I've talked about her before on the show. Her name is Katherine Johnson. And if you go look at this amazing woman's career, what a gift to this world. And she was hired by NASA in 1953. She had a BS in mathematics from French from West Virginia State College in 1937. And Miss Johnson worked at NASA, and she did the mathematics for the trajectories, for the launch trajectories and recovery trajectories. Not only that, but her boss had her check all of the white dudes that worked at NASA. She was checking their work. These are PhD scientists and engineers. And a black woman of that day who couldn't even use the same bathroom or drink from the same water fountain or use the same coffee pot. And look at what she did, what she achieved in the face of all of that, which sucks beyond anything I could ever say. Because she was a good woman. You know? So, she worked on the space shuttle. She worked at the Johnson Space Center. And she helped sync Project Apollo's lunar module with lunar orbiting command and service module. So this is the lady that did some pretty amazing math. Some pretty amazing math. So to say that anyone of any gender, race, creed, what have you, that there's not a peer group out there that you can identify with and say, wait a minute, you know, this woman was from West Virginia. I doubt that, you know, and again, at a time when she couldn't use the same bathroom, she couldn't drink the same water fountain, and she couldn't drink from the same coffee pot as her coworkers. Her boss famously went to the bathroom that said whites only in her building and knocked that bitch down with a sledgehammer. She was just, and they looked at her, and they looked, and NASA looked at her as an equal. As an equal. So, she was a pretty cool lady. I love reading about her. I love studying her. And she lived an amazing life and overcome amazing odds against her. So to say that you can't do it, go read about Katherine Johnson. I challenge you to do that. And I challenge you in any peer group. Doesn't matter whether you're Oriental, Latino, doesn't matter. There's going to be people within your peer group who have overcome all of that. It's people that don't want you to succeed that are telling you you can't. They don't want you to play in their sandbox. And that's bullshit. So show them what the hell you can do. And I'll leave with Catherine's biggest, one of her biggest achievements, and Alan Shepard, who was a white astronaut, trusted her math, but she calculated the trajectory for America's first space trip with Alan Shepard in 1961. It was her math, a black woman, her math, at the height of civil unrest for black folks. This woman put a man in space. Put him in space. And he trusted her math. Because at one point in time, he famously said, when they were trying to do the things, he asked what her thoughts were. He asked her boss, he said, what are her thoughts? And he said, this is Catherine's math. He said, well, then I'm good with it. Because honestly, guys, there are people out there, including Alan Shepard, that didn't see. He didn't ask, hey, what's the black woman think? He asked, he said, what does Catherine think? So, you know, there are lots of people out there that including myself, that absolutely support anybody. If you're trying to better yourself, God bless, let's go. If I know of a resource that will help you uplift whatever your situation is, if I have it, you can have it. So the notion that somebody's got their foot on your neck, yeah, go read her story. Nobody had their foot on her neck. And she got a job at NASA, for God's sake. Her math was that good. You could be Katherine Johnson. You don't know. You know why what's happening to young kids is that you're taught not to be a brainiac. You're taught not to use your head in school, that you need to, you know, everybody's got to be the cool kid. And what inevitably happens is, how many children are going through the system to never realize that they could have been a Katherine Johnson? You could be a Katherine Johnson. But because society says that you can, or that your peer group that you're currently hanging out with teases you and does all that kind of crazy shit. Listening to black people who talk about, you know, the biggest parties in their neighborhood are the guys coming home from prison, not the guys coming home with a high school diploma. And you're being told, and it doesn't matter what your peer group is if you're being told that you can't make it or that you can't do things in life, that's, you know, that should tell you that, you know, that you don't have to listen to the world. You can make it yourself. Some of the things that Katherine Johnson has achieved in her life, and these were things where her greatness was celebrated, is there is a building in 2016, NASA named a building the Katherine G. Johnson Computational Research Facility. In, what was it, 2000, me see. She also, in 2015, won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest achievement that a woman can get, or I say a woman, an American can get in our country that's a civilian. It's like getting the Congressional Medal of Honor, but for a civilian. So go tell me that you can't do things because of, where you're on the wrong side of the track or some other bullshit that you buy into, which is sad. Don't buy into it because you don't have to. So anyhow, I hope this helps you in your growth. I do. All right, we're going to close it off here. Thank you so much. If you stayed with me, I appreciate it. And God bless you. Don't let anybody tell you can't. I don't care who you are, where you are, how you are. Don't let anybody tell you can't. And if you have to go it alone, go it alone. Because you've heard me say this a majillion times. All the people are going to say, "Why are you doing that? What you doing that for? Hey, you can't do nothing. Bah, 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 bah." And then when you've done it, guess what those same people are going to come back to you with? "Man, how'd you do that? How the hell did you make it? How the hell did you do that?" Yeah. So, please, if you can, follow the link in our bio, and that will take you to my link tree where you can go see my books on Amazon. You can see our different social media channels. If you're on X or YouTube, please go follow us. And I appreciate it very much. And there's a link to all of those type things there. If you're on Rumble, we're on Rumble. And there you have it, guys. That's been a good day. So anyway, this is the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. And I'm your host, Robert Bruton. Bye for now.